This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else.
This is The Stinking Truth.
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
Hey, welcome into the Stinking Truth Podcast. Mark Schlereth alongside my co-host, Mike Evans. Mike, man, it's great to be with you. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, and we've got some breaking news to react to right away as we jump in here. The Giants have released Daniel Jones. John Mara coming out and saying that Jones approached them about the idea of making it happen. They mutually agreed, and so the Daniel Jones era is over.
Daniel Jones, didn't they just give him $160 million? I mean, didn't they just make that decision? That's a, hey, you know, here's the thing about Daniel Jones. God bless him, because he's a good kid. He's a great kid, right? And he's a hard worker, and he's all the wonderful things, you know, and then the obligatory but, you know, the caveat statement. You knew he couldn't play before you gave him the money. And you just hoped that the fairy godmother would sprinkle fairy dust on his head, and all of a sudden, like, and all of a sudden he could play, right? Like, you've known he couldn't play. You knew he didn't make great decisions. You knew he red-striped everybody. He eyed down his receivers. He threw too many picks. You knew all these things about him before you gave the money to him. And yet, you still gave the money to him. Because why? Because you were afraid. Oh, what if we make a mistake? Well, now how's that mistake? You've compounded the mistake. I wish every franchise would learn a lesson that the San Francisco 49ers learned years ago when they drafted Trey Lance third overall. They moved from 12 to 3. They gave up three first-round draft choices. They drafted the guy. They instantly realized they made a mistake. And what do? They got rid of him. They said, you know what? Instead of compounding our mistake, let's just move on. And they moved on before they paid him a big contract, before they kept trying to convince themselves that the guy could play. Listen, if it quacks like a duck and it waddles like a duck and it swims like a duck, you know what it is? It's a duck. And you knew that about Daniel Jones. And now, all of a sudden, you just made $160 million mistake and you still don't have a quarterback. And oh, by the way, last year, there were not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six quarterbacks taken. And the sixth overall quarterback taken in the draft last year, while you were flirting with Daniel Jones and drafting Malik Nabers, might just be the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in Bo Nix.
Yeah.
So you had an opportunity to rectify your mistake, to not continue to go down the road with your mistake, and instead, you did it. And now all of a sudden, Daniel Jones is on the street doing what? Watching NFL games right where you and I are watching NFL games from, the couch.
So what's next for the Giants then?
Well, now they go into a quarterback draft class that you know, everybody says is not that good.
Right. Shador Sanders and everybody else?
Right. But here's the good news. If you really believe in Shador Sanders, And I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, I think Shadur is, one, he's playing an offense that's coordinated by a former offense coordinator that's had success. You know, forget about what happened in Denver. Pat Shurmur has had success a time or two in this league. Remember what he was doing years ago in Minnesota when Case Keenum all of a sudden became a franchise quarterback because they went all the way to the what? The NFC Championship game. They got blown out by Philadelphia. But the bottom line is this. He's been in the National Football League. He's coordinated an offense in the National Football League, many offenses in the National Football League, and he's had success. So Shadur is in that offense. And let's face it, the Giants right now, if the draft were to start today, I believe Jacksonville's number one. I think Giants are number two. And guess what? Jacksonville already invested $275 million in their quarterback that they're not sure of either, but they're not moving off of him, Trevor Lawrence. So the Giants are in a position to draft Shadur Sanders.
Unless Tommy Cutlets messes it up.
Let's old Tommy Cutlets comes back. You know, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how that guy all of a sudden, just over the course of a few days, learned the offense better than that of Drew Locke. It's just it's absolutely amazing what's going on with the New York Giants.
The other bit of news today, for the first time in NFL history, we've seen a game flexed to Thursday night.
Yeah.
We've had the Sunday flex, the Monday flex, but this is the first time. So the Broncos and Chargers, who were scheduled to meet at SoFi on Sunday, December 22nd, instead that game has been moved up to Thursday, December 19th. What makes this even more interesting is that the Broncos had to sign off on this. This wasn't a case of them being ordered to do it. They had a say in it. They signed off on it because as a team that had already played a Thursday night road game earlier this year, they won in New Orleans, they would have to sign off. And they did. Theories as to why?
Yeah, you know what? That's really interesting. You and I have talked about this. I've thought about this a bit. At first, it makes no sense because going on the road for a Thursday night game is really difficult, right? But the Broncos have done it earlier this season. They went on the road to New Orleans, and they absolutely opened a can of whoop-ass on a broke-down New Orleans team, okay? So they've got to feel a little bit comfortable about Thursday night. But here's what I think the actual rub is, okay? So a couple of weeks before they play that Thursday night game, they've got a bye week. They had the benefit of having a bye week very late. The Chargers had their bye week, what, after week five or something of that nature?
Yeah.
So the Chargers will have played, I think you told me, 11 straight games since their bye week. So the Broncos are having a bye week right before this game, like a week before this game. So I think there's one game between it. So here's the thing about bye weeks. And you can do this. And this goes back to my playoff experience. Oftentimes, when you're preparing for the playoffs and you have a bye week and you're not sure who you're going to play, what you do is you spend a couple of days, you know, on one team, a couple of days on another team during the course of your bye week. So from a practice standpoint, you've already put a mini game plan together for that particular team, and you've practiced it a couple times. So for the Broncos, they can go into their bye week, and they can do some game planning. Even if they don't work on it in practice, the coaching staff can actually spend some time game planning for the Chargers. You know who can't game plan for the Broncos for that Thursday night short week? It's the Chargers. So you can roll into L.A., to face the Chargers, you already have some confidence from your beatdown of New Orleans on a Thursday night. You already have some confidence about prepping for that game and going on the road and playing on a Thursday night game. And now you've got the benefit of extra preparation game planning that they don't have. So that's a really interesting little twist to the Thursday night. And then after the Thursday night game, you get another little mini bye week before you get a last couple of games on your schedule that are very hard that you might have to win, obviously, if you're going to be a playoff team. So like I think if you really break it down, you really boil it down, on the surface, it seems stupid to accept it. But when you kind of go into the game planning aspect of it and the time off that they have, maybe it makes a little bit of sense that you're going to be able to have a little bit of a one-up on Jim Harbaugh and his staff, because they won't be able to do the game planning that you'll be able to do coming into that game.
Yeah, I just don't think they do this if their bye isn't as late as it is. I think it's week 13 for the Broncos. Broncos get the Raiders this week, and Monday we get the Harbaugh Bowl as we have Baltimore and the Chargers. Great matchup. You know John very well. I don't think you know Jim as well, but you know John very well. Just kind of some at times you have to remind yourself that you're talking about two brothers here.
Yeah, no, right? I mean, I think it's awesome, and they have a great relationship, obviously, and they, you know, great love for one another. But it's just an interesting matchup, and it's funny too, because if you look at both teams, I think there's a compelling argument right now that the Chargers are a team that nobody really wants to play. And the way the Chargers have been built, and this is what I really respect about Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh understands some non-negotiables for him, right? One, if I'm going to build a team, it's going to have a fullback. Sorry. It's going to have a fullback. And not one of these fancy new wave fullbacks, right, that motion out of the backfield and kind of play tight end and kind of play H-back and kind of play, fullback a little bit. No, we're going to have a guy that used to play D-line or something and weighs 305. Like, we're going to have a dude that smashes heads. That we're going to have that. Then we're going to have, we're going to play fat people. We're going to get the fat people on the football field. It's kind of like you as a kid, Mike. You know,
oh boy.
We're going to get kids that wore Husky pants from Sears.
I did.
We're going to get the Husky pants kids. We're going to give those kids a chance to play.
You know who you are out there. You know who you are, you Husky pant wearer.
Right here. I was a Husky pant wearer. So, okay, we're going to get multiple tight ends. We're going to get a 300-pound fullback. We're going to grind, And there were so many people out there, because fantasy football just dominates our life in a lot of ways, right? And people think that fantasy football is real. Jim Harbaugh is concerned with reality football, not fantasy football. And he's going to control the line of scrimmage. And when everybody was saying, well, he got rid of all his wide receivers and Ladd McConkey is going to be his number one guy, and what are we going to do? No, we're going to get big. We're going to get physical. We're going to get fat. And we're going to go get an offensive lineman, number 5 or 6 overall. And he's going to be the tip of the spear. And that's how we're going to go with Joe Alt. We're going to control both lines of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively, and we're going to get back to old school, real, non-negotiable, controlled line of scrimmage football, and that's what's going to win. And right now, he's not putting up the gaudy numbers he's always put up in Justin Herbert, but guess what? 13 touchdowns, one. Count them, one interception on the football season. Because why? Because they've taken him off the high dive. They're going to control the line of scrimmage. You're going to run the football. And I tell you what, it brings a little tear to my eye. It makes me very, very happy.
You never thought you'd see this, right? As a football fan, that the day that the Chargers become a bully. And they're building a bully.
Right. Go back to the Air Coryell days, right? With Dan Fouts and Justin Jefferson and Charlie Joyner and Kellen Winslow and Chuck Muncy back in the day and all those guys, right? They're putting up all kinds of numbers. And you know what they're winning? Nothing. They're not winning anything. They're not winning in the playoffs. They're just not getting it done. And that was a great team. That was so much fun to watch. But this is kind of the anti-Air Coryell group.
LA's other team, the Rams, will be hosting the suddenly resurgent Philadelphia Eagles. And it's a fascinating matchup. How do you see this one?
Yeah, this one's tight, man. This one's really tight. Obviously, the Eagles, to me, they're the second best team in the NFC behind the Lions. And they're the one team that I would look at versus the Lions that would give me pause about, man, I got to really break this thing down. One, line of scrimmage. They win the line of scrimmage on both lines of scrimmage, defensively and offensively. They're really, really good. Two, Saquon Barkley. I mean, like if the MVP of the league wasn't automatically become the Heisman Trophy quarterback award, right, which I hate.
I know.
Would Saquon Barkley not be, he and Derrick Henry not be front runners for the MVP of the league? I mean, they should be. And I know we don't vote that way anymore because we're so, you know, we're so quarterback driven. But Saquon's been unbelievable. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. I love Dallas Goedert. You know how much I love him. The run game is back. I think we didn't probably put enough weight on the issues that Jalen Hurts had health-wise last year. But the quarterback run aspect of their offense is back. They're really tough right now. And you know what's interesting? Darius Slay, who's been an outstanding corner in this league for a very, very long time, going back to his Detroit days, Darius Slay has become their third best corner. And he talked about Matthew Stafford still being a top five quarterback in the league. And this morning on Breakfast Ball, my show on FS1, I put my top five quarterback list together, and it had eight guys. My list had eight guys that are
typical,
top five.
Typical stink.
Yeah, eight guys that are top five. But like, you look at what they've done on the defensive side of the ball and the way that Carter is playing right now, but you look at Mitchell at the cornerback position, you look at DeJean at the cornerback position, and you look at Darius Slay, man, they've got the three big-time corners. DeJean plays in the slot most of the time. They're really, really good. But the Rams, when the Rams are healthy, when the Rams have Stafford, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp together, they're a top three offense in every category. They've only been together, I think, five or six games, but they're a top three offense in pretty much every category when those guys all play together. So this should be a really good matchup, maybe the game of the week.
Yeah. Well, who are your top five quarterbacks? I think we'd all be kind of curious.
Well, this
Can
morning,
you cut them down from eight to five?
I can't. Okay, so it's obviously, you know, you got to go Allen. You got to go Mahomes. I think you have to put, without recency bias, because he didn't play well against the Steelers, but you got to go Lamar. Right? So those three have got to be in your top five. Jared Goff has been in my top five for several years, even when nobody else was on that bandwagon. And I think most people now are on that bandwagon.
Yep.
And then, like, if I had to have a game with, like, one game for one dude to win and play well, it might be Matthew Stafford.
You've always been a Stafford guy.
Huge Stafford guy. Always been a Stafford guy. And, you know, that would probably be, like, who am I leaving out? I left out Purdy. I left out
You know, Burrow, Herbert, Stroud.
See, Burrow, it's hard to keep. Burrow is having a ridiculous good season.
Right.
It's hard to keep Burrow out of there. Maybe Burrow, man, Burrow's got to be in there.
Well, ahead of whom?
Lamar?
Oh, no. Come on, that's.
Now am I just trolling?
Now you're just
Baltimore fan.
Now you're just asking. Asking for trouble.
See, this is why I have to have eight guys in my top five.
No, you got
to
pick five.
No, I got to have eight guys in my top five.
Nope.
All right, I'm taking out Stafford, and I'm putting in Burrow.
Burrow's five?
Yeah. Can I have a three-way tie for five?
No. We're just sitting around having a. I'd take Stafford over Burrow right now.
Burrow would be the MVP of this league right now if he didn't play on if he played on a team that had any defense at all. Have you seen his numbers? Have you seen what he's required to do? Like, the problem that Cincinnati has right now is their coaching staff puts him on the high dive for 65 plays and goes, hey, go win this game for us. And you know what? He literally does every week, and yet they still find a way to lose because they can't stop a nosebleed.
But this is why we've had this conversation before. This is why you don't overinvest in receivers. Once you've been lucky enough to find the quarterback, you don't overinvest in receivers. This isn't fantasy football. And here's the problem. yeah, the Bengals have a dynamic offense and you've put weapons around Joe Burrow, but at the expense of the rest of the football team. Great, you're scoring 35 points per game, but you're giving up 38. So I think the Bengals should be the poster child for anybody out there in the NFL that has their quarterback, but then what to do when it comes to paying receivers.
You know, it's interesting because I got in, you're going to find this hard to believe. I got in a tete-a-tete with a bunch of Cincinnati fans when they took Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell. And I said,
I remember
huge
that
mistake. Huge mistake, right? And it's funny because Ja'Marr Chase is awesome.
Yeah.
He's really, really good. But let me just tell you, Penei Sewell, and I've talked to Dan Campbell, the coach of the Lions, on multiple occasions about this, without equivocation, without even thinking about it, if you ask Dan Campbell right now, who's the best player on your football team? I mean, instantly. He didn't say Goff. He didn't say Amon-Ra St. Brown. He doesn't say he doesn't say Aiden Hutchinson. He doesn't say he goes Penei Sewell, and it's not close. Penei Sewell is the most dominant player, is the best player, is pound for pound the best player on our football team. Stop. Period, stop, end of story.
Can I go back to your top five quarterback list?
Yeah, please.
Because you've got a guy in there. You're worried about leaving this guy out, putting this guy in. I'll tell you the guy who does not belong in your top five.
Don't you say it.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, right now?
Right now. Come on,
Good. Let's put Stafford back in.
Okay.
Keep Burrow in.
Okay.
And dump that bum Mahomes out.
and listen, Chiefs Kingdom, don't mistake me. Mark, you'll have your shot here, but don't mistake me. Come playoff time, that's the guy I want number one on my list. But he's just not having that good of a year right now. And if you put him in the top five, it's because you're doing so on reputation. That's not what this list is about.
Yeah, right now he is, and he is, you know, tied for the league lead in interceptions at 11 with Jordan Love. Do you know that Jordan Love has thrown an interception in every game that he's played this year? Every single one, and he missed a couple of games. So 11, that's big time. But, you know, one of the things that's interesting, the last couple of weeks, I went back and looked at Mahomes and some of the issues, and boy, I'm telling you what, he gets so dialed in critical situations to Travis Kelce, and everybody double teams Travis Kelce, even triple teams Travis Kelce. And he does not have that rapport or that feel for any other receiver on his team. And so it becomes one of those situations where in a critical situation, the only guy I trust is 87. Well, guess what? 87 people are like, 87 ain't beating us. Like today, no. And until he gets that connection with D-Hop or with the Worthy kid or whoever else, you know, comes out of the woodwork, they're talking about getting Hollywood Brown back. But I don't know that you all of a sudden have instant rapport with a guy who hasn't been there all year. So it just is. It's just a really interesting situation coming out of Kansas City. But you're right. He's not playing very well. I'm taking him off my top five. Good call by you.
All right. So then your top five quarterbacks in the NFL as of right now, Josh Allen, one, Lamar, two.
I didn't put any. These are just my top five. I'm not putting no order. No order on it.
Well,
Put no particular order on it.
Well, I don't know what the people at Fox say, but I hold your feet to the fire. You know that darn well. So, no. You got to rank them, my friend.
Okay. Well, Allen one.
All right.
Goff two.
Okay.
No. Allen one. Burrow two.
Okay.
Goff three. Lamar four. And Stafford, five.
Okay. Can't argue with that.
Okay, good.
All right, that wasn't so hard.
We found common ground. Look
we
at
found
us.
Common ground, see?
You just need
to be pushed a little bit, you know?
Right.
No fence sitting here on the Stinking Truth podcast.
Yeah, I wasn't trying. I was just trying to give you no particular order, you know, on things. But that worked.
That's a weasel way out. So some other games. Green Bay, San Francisco. It's a good
this is
one.
The last stand for San Francisco, isn't
last
it?
Last stand. I feel, well,
Well, listen, here's the problem. They're 1-3 in their own division. Okay? They've lost three. They had a lead in the fourth quarter in all three of their losses. They lost to Arizona with a fourth quarter lead. They lost to the Rams with a fourth quarter lead. They lost to Seattle last weekend with a fourth quarter lead. We keep waiting, and I know they've had a lot of injuries, but we keep waiting for them to be a red zone efficient football team, right? Like, oh, and we thought 2 weeks ago when Christian McCaffrey came back, this solves the red area. This solves the red zone issues. This solves their scoring issues. Where did they score against Seattle? 17. And then they gave up an 80-yard drive for a touchdown to lose that game 20-17. So to me, this is their last stand. And if they drop this weekend to Green Bay, there's no way in the world they're going to win a tiebreaker with any team in the NFC. So to me, this is one of those must-win games for the 49ers if they're going to keep their playoff hopes alive. So that's kind of where I'm standing with them.
But what's at stake for Green Bay? Because they got to kind of start to assert themselves too, don't they? Do you have a strong handle on the Packers yet?
No, because they make too many mistakes. Their quarterback is not judicious enough with the football. And oh, by the way, there's a team that nobody talks about that happens to have the second or third best record in the NFC, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. Yep. Minnesota Vikings are sitting at 8-2 right now. Tied with Philadelphia at 8-2, only behind the Lions at 9-1, and nobody talks about it. Like nobody believes in the Minnesota Vikings because they remember Sam Darnold when he played for the crappy ass Jets. Nobody plays well for the Jets. The Jets are a dumpster fire. By the way, speaking of the Jets, did you hear the Rex Ryan? Did you hear his sound?
Yeah. Remind me, everybody. I got to circle back to two things here. But okay.
He just came out and basically lobbied. Yeah, he lobbied for the Jets job. There's nobody that can play harder than us with the Jets. There's nobody. I guarantee you that. John Gruden, no, I'm a Jet. He's not a Jet. I'm the Jet. Which, I look at it and go, gosh, that'd be a great storyline, right? If Rex Ryan came back to the Jets, I'm in for it, man. I'm all in.
Who was their last successful coach?
Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan.
Went to an NFC championship or AFC championship game with Mark Sanchez. Rex Ryan.
By the way, total, you got me now, squirrel, but you living in New York now, have you heard, is there a name or two that seems to be building momentum when it comes to the next head coach of the Jets?
There's one name, I can't confirm it, and maybe I wrote it down and then I read it, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers could be the quarterback/head coach, OC.
I got you.
Yeah, I mean, he's just going to give himself the title of the grand poobah.
Is that what your source tells you about Aaron Rodgers? Is that what your source tells you?
Yeah, that's what my source tells me. He's going to be the grand poobah of all things football for the Jets. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about the Jets and the head coaching search, but Rex Ryan certainly is lobbying for the job.
That'd be great. I'm all for that. That would be awesome. Let me circle back, finish your thought on the Packers.
I think the Packers are really good. I think the one thing you can't do is turn the ball over. And, taking chances with the football, turn it over last week in the red zone. He turned it over in the red zone. Easy completion to the tight end. Airmails it over his head, gets a pick. They're on the 16-yard line when he does it. Like, those things can't happen. And here's the thing, the mentality of Jordan Love. Like, you already earned the contract. And I think oftentimes, especially as a young player, when you get paid, you want to show the organization they made the right decision. And you try to do more than your job. And I think that Jordan Love has to come to grips with the fact that, man, like, it's better to, like, it's better for me to be judicious with the football and give us a chance to win as opposed to be aggressive at times and cost us a game. And he's put them in harm's way too many times. You're not proving, you've already been paid. They can't take the money away from you. You earned that money. Understand that you earned it for past performance, and you just have to let go. And listen, man, part of that is really cool because it means something to him.
Yep.
It's important to him. And I've been there, man. I understand that. I understand when I actually got paid, when I got a first decent contract, I felt the same way, man. I got to show them they did the right thing. You know, you got to be steady, and he hasn't been steady enough.
You mentioned the Vikings. Okay, you're right. They are the most overlooked 8-2 team you'll ever see. Is that a mistake by everybody? Or maybe a lot of people are correct in saying, yeah, they're 8-2, but...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sure. And say it at your own peril. Okay. Yeah, we're 8-2. I know one thing, they're going to line up and they're going to blitz you. I know one thing, they're going to pressure you. I know, hey, listen, Sam Darnold's thrown some picks lately, but Sam Darnold's played good football. And Kevin O'Connell, like, if we're talking coach of the year candidates, like, we're talking Mike Tomlin last night, that he hurt his chances for coach of the year on Thursday night, you know, making some – decisions at the end of the game, burning timeouts, you know, that kind of thing. Also, the decision that, hey, you turned over. Like, I was ready to give him coach of the year when he went to Russell Wilson, right? I was like, you're a 4-2 team and you've decided to go to Russell Wilson. I don't know. And he did, and it worked out. They won 4 straight. But last night, he kept going to Justin Fields in critical situations and, like, in a snow game. I just didn't understand the move. Once you've already made that move to Russell Wilson. So, like, Kevin O'Connell, is he in the conversation for coach of the year? Sean Payton certainly is in the coach of the year conversation. Like, who else would be in that conversation?
Jim Harbaugh
absolutely would be in the running for coach of the year. So there's some candidates out there, but, like, quit sleeping on the Minnesota Vikings. They're 8-2 for a reason. They're playing really good football.
So their ceiling is...
Well, they're a notch behind Detroit, but they're a good football team. So, you know, I mean, we've paid a lot of attention to Green Bay. We've played a lot of attention to the San Francisco 49ers. Last time I checked, Minnesota beat both Green Bay and the 49ers. The teams that we're giving more attention to, they've beat both those teams, and we keep saying, yeah, but they're not that good. Yeah, but they beat both the teams we're talking about.
You ready to get to our picks?
I am ready. And I'll admit, I took one on the chin last week. I went 1-2.
Yeah.
Putting me at a poultry. Hold on. Hold on for 1 second.
Watch this, folks. He's going to be doing math on the fly. This is going to be
awful. No. I wrote it down, but it was over there. So, All right. Here we go.
Updated numbers? All right.
I went 1-2 last week, which really hurt my record. I am sitting at 21-11-1. Now, you, on the other hand, Mike, you are really a hard charger. Hard charger. You went 2-1. That puts you at 17-16.
Okay.
Slowly but surely, cheap underpants, you're creeping up on me.
This isn't even a 28-3 hole I have to dig out of. It could be done. Okay, so I go first this week. I like there are a lot of big numbers out there, big favorite numbers. I can't go against Detroit right now. They're just a unit on offense, and they seem to be really locked in. I like Detroit on the road, giving up 7 at Indy. I like Washington. I watched the Cowboys play Monday night. Boy, that thing is unraveling. And I would think that Washington would just gleefully be looking to run it up on the Cowboys at home. So I'll lay the big number, Washington minus 10.5. And then I like the way Philly's playing. And I've always agreed with you about Philly's talent as maybe being easily one of the top three most talented teams in the NFL. It seems like it's coming together. So I'll take Philly minus the 3 in their game.
All right, I like it. All right, I'm going to go with the hometown team. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos minus 6 against the Raiders. Defensively, they're a top 5 team. Defensively, Bo Nix is playing out of his mind right now. Last week against Atlanta, he was on target. The young receivers are starting to come together. Offensive line is doing a great job protecting, great job getting push up front. I like the Broncos by double digits over the Raiders. I'm giving the 6. And then it's the Dolphins playing the New England Patriots at home. The Dolphins, listen, man, the Dolphins are a team that while Tua was gone with the injury, while Tua had the concussion, had sit out 5 weeks, the Dolphins were a team that was learning how to run the football efficiently, be physical in the run game, playing really good defense, rushing the passer, simulated pass rush, all these different things, or simulated blitz. The Dolphins giving up 7. I'm going to take the Dolphins. I'm going to give the points. And then lastly, I'm going to Minnesota, man. I think they're being disrespected. They hear the disrespect from people like you. Not me, but people like you. Minnesota Vikings giving 3.5. I'm going to give the 3.5. I'm going to take the Vikings.
All right. Sounds good. Enjoy your final weekend of football before Thanksgiving week football, which is the best.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be awesome. All right. For everybody involved in the Stink Truth Podcast, I am Mark Schlert. He is Mike Evans. Thank you so much for paying attention, for watching us, for subscribing to us. Please share us with all your friends if you like. If you don't, keep your mouth shut, because that's busting guy code. Right. Don't bust guy code. All right. For Mike, I am Mark. Mike, take care, buddy. I'll talk to you later.